Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
good evening and welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte, and I have on the line with me such a pleasant surprise, my super fantastic media sister from the Las Vegas area, Jess Ask Kim. Happy New Year, happy birthday, and happy everything to you, my sister Kim. How are you?
Oh, I'm so fine, Mo, and I've been watching all your wonderful works and everything that you're doing for the community and your hard work, and it certainly is noticed, and I'm just I just know that the people are appreciating it, and just if you can just lift up one person, you know, the work is tiresome and cumbersome. I recently quit my job with the school district. You know, the politics just got too much for me. And the kids take all the time.
They just take all the joy. They will take out the joy of what you're trying to do. But, you know, we have to wake up and just move forward. You know, today we're going to be talking, and I want you to stay on the line and work with me here. Because we're going to be talking about there will be another Mandela, another Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., or another Dr. Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth. Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, a civil rights icon, is my cousin. I'm related to the Shuttlesworth family. And so I want people to wake up. This is the title. We're celebrating and honoring the life of Dr. Mandela, Nelson Mandela, 95 years, and all the work and struggle, and we have all these naysayers that are out here trying to find some negativity. I mean, he was treated like a slave, but now he's being honored as a king. And so then we have Dr. King, who fought the same battles as Nelson Mandela, but on two different continents. And then you have Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth that went through the civil rights. He was the person that brought Dr. King out into the forefront, bitten by dogs, the water holes. And then we have our current so-called civil rights leaders, Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Sharpton, who I work for. And then we have ourselves. When do we wake up as a people and start waiting for others to help us and to deliver us and to fight the struggle? When do we wake up and step out into the forefront? That's my question for the people tonight. You know,
wow.
We talk about, yeah, that's the question. When I get up in the morning, you know, people always say, well, I see you here with your leader. And I say, yes, I am. I'm here with myself, because when I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I see the leader. I'm my own leader. No one represents me. I'm my own leader.
Yeah.
Leadership is within.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah, and what I wanted to say, Maureen, you know, there has been so many pioneers, Rap Brown, Huey Newton, Chairman Fred, Adam Clayton Powell, and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was one of my favorites. And you know, their work can't go just unattended. And when I see what people are doing today, but it's an individualized thing. But I think that this Obamacare and this Obama business, you know, the people can't afford health insurance. And so we are back again from day one. If we're to survive, we have to help one another. Collectively as a people, because we're in the position now as 400 years ago of dying slowly. It's just, they just put it another way. But if you don't have no job, you can't get medicine, especially the seniors. You can't get affordable and housing and daycare for your children. And so all the programs that were fought for in the 50s and the 60s, they're no longer available. So if we're to survive as a people, we're going to have to work together.
And so, you know, you mentioned earlier that you quit your job because of the politics of school and the kids and this and that. But I retired from teaching after almost 38 years in a school system. In one school, I stayed in for 25 years. In one school, a black woman in an all-Spanish-speaking school where I was the ESL teacher, English as a second language teacher. And when I retired, I had to go from the school system paying my insurance to getting COBRA insurance. And I hate to put the name of that insurance out there, but I had to get COBRA, which now from my retirement was taking up almost a third of my, in fact, took up a third of my income because it was so high. I'm here today to tell you I have no insurance because I missed one payment out of 18 months. And so because I missed that one payment, I was knocked off of my insurance. So I said, okay, well, I knew I couldn't stay on COBRA forever and always because I had it ended in March or February. So I'm sitting here now without insurance. At first I was upset, but then I said, you know, God's taking care of me. I know what I need to do to stay healthy and happy. And so I am now looking at the various options of health care. And as I look at the various health care plans, they're all very expensive, you know. So what is the person to do?
Right, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, how, and now you, a teacher, educator, me, myself, the same thing. I don't have none either. And so I've been forced to, take care of myself, like you said, and do alternative and wheat bread. So I had to learn to take care of myself a lot better. However, there are instances when you do need to go see a doctor. Now, as leaders, we have to fight more, okay, collectively. I mean, because it's just enough of this, okay? It's just enough. And we just keep accepting and accepting and you know. I'm a revolutionary. We have to fight. You don't get nothing by just laying down and going along with and trying to talk to people and all this kind of business. I mean, it is just not right.
Exactly. And that's why I made the title of this talk tonight, Mandela, Dr. King, Shuttlesworth, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Sharkin, and you. Nelson did his part. He's the only person I know that went to jail, served 27 years, came out and ran for president. Dr. King fought the battle for injustices, the right to vote, being bombed, the Reverend Shuttlesworth. His children were really the first children to integrate a school. His house was bombed in 1957 on Christmas Day. Those icons, civil rights icons, are gone. We all benefited from there. You know, we all have a dream. Now we're left with Reverend Jackson. What are you doing, Reverend Jackson? We're now with Reverend Sharkin. What are you doing, Reverend Sharkin? I have worked for all of these guys. And so now it looks like I'm probably, and that's probably true, I'm probably only one that has a relationship with Minister Farrakhan, Reverend Jackson, Reverend Sharpton, Ben Jealous, all of these guys. But it's up to us as individuals. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Yes, I am, because like you said, we've got to work together to hold each other together, you know. So we're waiting for everybody else to solve our problems. What can we do to create peace and unity and dignity in our own neighborhood?
And
one neighborhood at a time.
And that's the main thing. Now, this complex where I live, the property manager, she is phenomenal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She has a food pantry here, okay? Then last week she had the people here giving out the free phones. For Thanksgiving, we did a community potluck, and every house, it's a small community. It's only 40 apartments here, and she had a turkey for everybody, you know. And naturally, I helped her because I helped to cook most of the food because I wasn't going to let the woman. She, her heart is so big, I just wasn't going to let her do all that cooking and not help her. The point that I'm trying to make, and this is one gladiator, is she didn't make the front page news, okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, all the people that she helped to feed, every Saturday she goes somewhere and come back with a truckload of food for the people, and, you know, the people can't pay the rent. And, you know, because a lot of people not working, and then the age people. And then there's the other people that have limited education, and so they don't have a job, and they don't have a computer to figure out, you know, how to take care of themselves better. And, you know, nobody is really talking about it. People are just stagnated and, you know, and just dying slowly, and it's enough. It's enough. We have to take care of us, and we have to take authority over our children. We no longer can we now, you know, now some things are our responsibility. Okay, I'm in charge of my household. My son said, I've been working since I was 14 years old. I said, well, that's good for you. That means your back is strong, okay? You can't sit here. He got some papers, you got the newspapers. I didn't want him to be 40 and 50 years old trying to figure out I need a job. So if we can iron out those main things, that main issue of being self-sufficient, you got to have an income, okay? No longer can you look for me or other people to take care of you, okay? I'm your mother, certainly I'll provide your basic needs, but I'm going to steer you into being self-sufficient.
And this is what I'm trying to hit home to our people. We talk about there's no black history of our people being taught in our school system. I have learned so much about Nelson Mandela since he passed. Than I did when he was alive. You see what I'm saying? I have a problem with our political system when you want to wait till somebody passes or someone dies and you talk about what he or she has done. Let me tell you, in 1993, I was the vice president of the NAACP here in the Chicago South Suburbs. We had an AXL competition. Both of my daughters was in the AXL competition. One played Fair Elise on the piano. The other one paraphrased Dr. Nelson Mandela's speech that he had written after spending 27 years in prison. Neither one of my daughters have a speech impediment. They don't stutter or anything. My daughter, who did the oratorical contest, she didn't win. She didn't come in second, third, fourth, no place. her speech was on Nelson Mandela. She didn't win. And the young man who won that oratorical contest, he had a speech impediment. He stuttered, but he won. And as my daughter and I talked about that actual competition in 1993 on Nelson Mandela, first we thought it was because my daughter is super fast. She's lighter than I am. And so I thought maybe it was, we're still dealing with racism within our own race. But as I thought about it, we talked about it when Nelson Mandela died, it was because my children were ahead of the time. In 1993, there were so many adults that didn't know or were not aware of Nelson Mandela. You know, so
okay.
Here I have children that were black, educated, and liberated because we came up, we attended Trinity United Church. We were the first church to put a free South Africa apartheid sign in our churchyard. So ignorance is bliss. So, but you're right. You told your son that I think you have a strong back. I'm not going to be here with you forever, and you need to be self-sufficient. We need more parents like you.
And so I led him into self-sufficiency, okay? I led him to get businesses and start businesses. He started selling on eBay and Amazon. And so he's been doing that since he was 14. And so he's been selling his gaming system. He likes the Jordans and the Kobe's. He wear them a couple of times and he sell them. He knows how to buy and trade, and so he's very literate with money and exchanging money. So he's real sharp on that. He knows how to count. You're not gonna beat him. You're gonna give him his correct change. Okay, he understands that. And when we didn't have a TV in the house, he had to watch DVDs and tapes, okay? He knows who he is. He knows about the Black Panther Party. He knows, he knows where the free lunch comes from, and he'll tell you quick he don't want it, okay? He'll tell you quick. But the point I'm trying to make is that we have to teach and train our children in the way that they're to go. Now, you mentioned that your daughter was in an oratory competition. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what happened with my son when in January, the only month they do a Black History, and the teacher was talking, was giving a reference about Martin Luther King, and my son corrected the teacher because he read every book on Martin Luther King. He knows all about Martin Luther King. So you can't feed him something false. He's not arrogant, but he is assertive.
Your son is the next leader, the next president. And so all of these guys, the Mandelas, the Kings, the Shuttlesworth, these are the civil rights icons who have laid the foundation. It's up to us as individuals to pick up that baton and encourage our youth to be the best they can be, not for them to sit around and wait to see, is Jesse coming? Is Sharpton coming? I'm going to wait for them to have solutions to our problem. No, it's up to us to have our own solutions for our own problems.
And then we the first ones to say, look at other races, how they stick together. It's the same thing. It's the mom and pop businesses that are backbone of America. The Latinos in Las Vegas, this is Latino country. This is Mexicali, Little Tijuana. All you see is burritos and whatever. But you don't see black folks making no catfish on the corner. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's the same thing here. Sharp. Now, you know black folks eat some catfish. But when you go into the catfish joint, you see the Latinos or the Arabs in there. And you know they don't eat no fried catfish, but they're making their money off of us. So my question is, how do we take the money that we spend? Because I'm looking at that. I know how I can buy shares of McDonald's, but how do we go in and get that shares of Shark and those other fish eateries that we don't have to pay the middleman, just go direct? So when our kids learn that they can invest their money and then sit in the parking lot of these institutions, these eateries, and watch their money grow, because each time somebody buys McDonald's, my shares of stock going to change, you know. But this is what they want us to be. They want us to be dependent. We're the only race of people that have so many eateries, and the dialysis centers are in our community. That's what they
are. Right. And so the other thing also, with our limited resources, or with our resources, if we collectively, I mean, you know, like we did back in the day, we had rent parties and this and that and numbers or whatever. And so it is, so, you know, I teach my son to work with his gifts. If you like to play ball, then you need to practice playing ball, okay? And I'm not going to encourage him to work for nobody. Okay. Okay. It's about business and having your own. So now, I recently got my real estate license, and I had him to go to the classes with me. And so I was, and then I was taking the classes, and I just finished and got my certificate for the taxes. So you need to know how to pay taxes, so you don't have to go to jail when you make some money.
Come on, now, you better say that.
We need to, you know, these are life skills. You need to know about paying your taxes. You cannot avoid it. Okay, so you're setting yourself up for failure by being ignorant, okay? You got to teach your children how to make some money and what to do with it when they get something, and to pay their taxes, okay? How to pay your quarterly taxes, okay? You got to set them up to succeed, okay? You need a place to stay, okay? You don't want to rent all your life. Okay, so these are this is how you go about home ownership. Now, if you don't have no money or whatever, then you need to educate yourself how to get some and how to move into that area. Okay?
Yeah.
So the leadership begins in your home.
And that's what I'm saying. Leadership is in within you. When we step up to the plate and take charge and create a mindset of peace and dignity and unity in our own community, if each person works in their own community, it's like Nelson Mandela, like Dr. King, like Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth. I'm working very hard now, and I want the people who are listening to tune into MSNBC or Reverend Al Sharpton's Politics Nation, because we are hosting a town hall meeting here in Chicago Thursday, December 19th, putting Chicago hope, putting the light on the violence here in Chicago. So I'm a woman, and one of the men, one of the clergy had asked me, are you a woman of the cloth? Are you clergy? And when he asked me if I was a woman of the cloth, are you clergy? I told him no. He says, I mean, are you a woman of the cloth? I told him, yeah, I'm a woman of the cloth. I got a pair of panties on and a bra. That's cloth. You know, so when I came up and told him, this is, women are the ones that the belly of the womb were used to produce you, the men. Without this woman here to producing you, there would be no men. You know, I've never seen a man give birth to nobody. But it looks like we're coming to the end of our time. I mean, this time goes fast. I may have, you know, only do a half hour show here, but I may have thinking seriously about boosting my time up with the premium station, and because I think it would be worthwhile. But I want to thank you for calling in, and we have to get back on our program and educating. And it's just like the young lady you mentioned, Kim, about feeding the people and helping the people there. We are our own PR persons. We are our own public relations. It's up to us to write her story. We have to write her story and put it out there. Even if you put it on Facebook and have people to share and put her picture out there, because that's a medium that people do read. And believe me, there's a lot of people in your area.
And I'm going to do that, because she fundraised to give turkey and fed the entire community. And she's trying to work to do it again for Christmas. So you're absolutely right. That is my talent. It's a God-given talent. It's my mouth and my hand. I know how to talk and I know how to write. So like you said, it's our responsibility to do for our own. Okay?
Exactly.
You're
I'm going to lead off with this quote from Nelson Mandela. He'll be laid to rest tomorrow, Sunday, December 15th. And one of his quotes says, "During my lifetime, I have dedicated myself to the struggle of the African people. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if it needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." Rest in peace, my brother, Nelson Mandela, July 18, 1918, and continues the struggle, December 5th, 2013. Sounds the call to come together, and united we shall stand. Let us live and strive for freedom in South Africa, our land. Nkosi Sikelel', Africa. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to In the Know with Mo, as our topic today was Nelson Mandela, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, Jesse Jackson, and, of course, Reverend Sharpton and myself. Until we meet again, be safe. Goodbye.